the biographies of famous men and women that are published today read more like a novel than they do a biography. These biographies written about famous folks, celebrities, politicians, whatever, they'll go into great detail. They'll reveal the house which these famous men and women were born. They'll tell you such information as where they like to eat, what they like to eat. They mention anything and everything that they think would be of public interest. But in the verses before us, we have a short, concise biography of a man who will be forever known and recorded in the pages of God's inspired book. And his name is Simeon. Look at verse 25. We have pretty much his biography in one verse here. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. What a short and to the point biography that is. His name was Simeon. He lived in Jerusalem. He was a just man. He was a devout man. He waited for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And that's just enough of a biography for any of us. Our existence in this world has never been about us. Now, I know that may disappoint some folks, but it's not about us. My mom used to tell me that the world don't revolve around you, David Lee. And you know what? I found out that it doesn't. I thought it did, but it doesn't. Our existence in this world has never been about us. It's about the glory of God. It's about the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the less that is said of us, and the more that is said about him, the better off we'll be. Now, the story before us in just a few short verses is worthy of our attention. I think there's a great deal that can be gleaned from the story of Simeon. Did you notice that the Holy Ghost put the word behold at the beginning of this statement concerning Simeon? Behold! There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The name Simeon, interesting enough, means hearkening one, or one that hears and obeys. I doubt very seriously if there ever be a biography written about me. But when I die, I would just be elated with such a biography as Simeon's. I would be forever delighted and thankful if these things could and would be said of me. First, that I dwelt in Jerusalem, spiritual Jerusalem, which means the habitation of peace. You see, that's where all God's people dwell spiritually, all those who trust in Christ in this life and in the next. Christ is our Jerusalem. Christ is our habitation of peace. It's in Christ we enjoy the peace of God, which Paul said passes all understanding and that keeps our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus and on Christ Jesus. In Christ we enjoy that peace of God and it keeps our hearts and our minds through the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, how wonderful it would be if my biography noted that I was considered a sinner who hearkened unto the Lord. That's what the name Simeon means. One who hearkens unto the Lord, one that hears and obeys, one who's heard and obeyed God's voice. The Holy Spirit did not say, behold, there was a king of Jerusalem whose name was King Herod. The Holy Spirit does not record, behold, there was a high priest of Jerusalem whose name was Annas. No, it simply says, behold, take notice. There was simply a man just like any other man, a man who was a sinner, whose name was Simeon. There was nothing special about Simeon, but there was something special done for him. And oh, how wonderful it would be if it could be said of me, David Edmondson, only a sinner saved by God's grace. Thirdly, how delightful it would be if it was said that my character, like Simeon's, was just and devout. Just as Simeon's character was before men and devout was his character before God. Now, was Simeon a father? Well, we're not told. But if he was, I can assure you, he was a just father. He didn't provoke his children to anger, lest they should be discouraged. Was Simeon a master? Well, we're not told. But if he was, you can be assured that he was a just master. He gave his servants that which was just, that which was right, knowing that he himself had a master in heaven. Was Simeon a merchant? Again, we're not told, but if he was a just merchant. He didn't overcharge for his service or his goods. He conducted himself honestly in business. He honored God in his business transactions. Well, was Simeon a servant? Again, we're not told, but if he was a just servant. He didn't render eye service as a man pleaser, no. In singleness of heart, he faithfully served his master and he faithfully served his Lord. I'm positive of that because he was a just man. And according to many Bible scholars, it's very possible that Simeon was one of the teachers of the Jews. But if Simeon was that teacher of the Jews, then you can be assured that he was a just and faithful teacher who spoke what he knew concerning the Word of God, and he did not do so for any gain or filthy lucre, because he was a just man. Before men, Simeon was a just man, but that's only half of this man's character. He was also devout before God. Luke does not say Simeon was just and religious. It says that he was just and devout. You see, being religious is a term often used to describe outward observances. A man may be outwardly very religious without at all being inwardly devout. Now, the word devout means devoted. Simeon was devoted to God. The word devout means God-fearing. Simeon possessed inward and spiritual grace. It's a rarity that a man is both just and devout. No doubt that describes a godly man. Fourthly, I so hope that it can be said of me, as it was Simeon, that I waited for the consolation of Israel. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Well, what does that mean? What was he waiting for? Well, he was waiting for someone. He was looking for someone, and he was expecting someone, and Christ was the consolation of Israel. Simeon was longing and looking and expecting Christ, the Messiah and the Redeemer, to come. If the Lord Jesus doesn't come again before I die, I hope that it can be said of me that I was a man who trusted in Christ, a man that was waiting on Christ's return. I do. Now, I want you to hear me on this. Men and women do not usually find Christ. Men and women do not usually find salvation if they have no interest in Christ or salvation. Those who do not have any interest in redemption nor have any interest in salvation, most of the time do not find it. But those who feel their guilt and those who see their need, those that have sorrow over their sin seem to always find salvation. The Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray, well, he wasn't seeking God. The scripture says he prayed thus with himself. He was there to brag on himself before God. He said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And I'm certainly not like that Pharisee there in the back. I do this and I do that. Let me tell you all that I do. But God knew what he was. And God knew what he did. And God didn't know that Pharisee. One day there will be many who profess to believe and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this and haven't we done that? And the Lord Jesus will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. You see, that's the issue. Does he know me? But then we're told about that publican standing afar off. Would not lift up so much as eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now that's the prayer that gets the Lord's attention. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner that I am. Here was a man seeking mercy. He was seeking mercy because he was guilty. He acknowledged his guilt, and he got mercy. That's the way it works. And that publican, not the Pharisee, we're told that he went down to his house justified. He went down at his house with his sin paid for. Men and women usually don't find mercy unless they're seeking for it, unless they're looking for it. Simeon found Christ because he was looking for him. Simeon found Christ because he was interested in him. The question is, are you interested in the Savior? I will clarify right now that Simeon was interested and Simeon was looking because God put that interest in him. But that's who finds help, those who know and see their inability. Now, there was a woman that was diseased for 12 long years. You remember her? The Bible says that she had spent everything that she had. She spent everything and therefore she had nothing. That's a pretty good place to be, really. She was broke. She was bankrupt. She had nothing to offer God. She had gone to every doctor, to every specialist, but none of them could help her, not a one. And she grew worse. Yet she had hope, and she said within herself, if I can just get to Christ, I'll be made whole. And you know, I don't know for sure. We're not told, but I'm pretty well convinced that that poor woman crawled on her belly through that great crowd of people to touch the hem of Christ's garment. And when she did, the scripture says immediately she was made whole. What was she interested in? What did she desire and long for? She wanted to be healed. She wanted to be made whole. Do you want to be healed? Do you see that you're sick? Do you see that you have great need? There's a great physician that can help you. Oh, I hope and pray that can be said of me. This sinner came to the great physician and was graciously healed and made whole. Are you, like Simeon, interested in knowing who the Savior is? Those who seek the Lord shall find him. Our Lord said, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. And fifthly, I hope that when folks remember me in any way, if they do, that it might be said that I had the Holy Ghost upon me and in me. You see, beloved, Simeon wanted help. Simeon wanted mercy. Simeon wanted to know the Lord. The question is this morning to you. Look at verse 26 with me. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Now I'll pause there for a second. Simeon, we see here, was led by the Holy Spirit to Christ. If you're ever going to come to Christ, that's how you're going to be brought, by the Holy Spirit. No sinner ever came to Christ by his own wisdom. Simeon would have never found the Lord had the Holy Spirit not brought him into the temple this day. He didn't know when Christ was coming. Simeon didn't know that Christ would be there this day. He didn't even know at this point who Christ was. But the Holy Spirit led him there. At the same time, the Holy Spirit brought Mary and Joseph and the child Jesus to do unto him, we're told, after the custom of the law. The Holy Spirit brought Simeon's path to cross the path of the Lord Jesus. Child of God, he did the same for you. Our Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And as many as received him, to them he gave, God gave, the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Salvation is a work of God. Salvation is an operation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought Simeon to Christ. If God ever crosses your path with the Savior, it's because the Holy Spirit brought you there. He'll bring you to the gospel, or he'll bring the gospel to you. He will do so if you're one of his. And if any sinner ever comes to Christ, that'll be how. It'll be by the Spirit of God. I love that verse that says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that loved him. But he hath revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:9. God has hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babe. Verse 26 tells us that very plainly. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it's here that we see that blessed truth again of divine revelation. God, the Holy Spirit, reveals the things of Christ to us. We can't figure them out on our own. They have to be revealed to us. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not die physically till he saw the very one who would save him forever. That being the Lord's Christ. You know, the Lord's Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one. Not the Jesus Christ of men's imaginations, no. Not the one who men imagine to be altogether like them. That's the reason that men and women have such a low opinion of God. They think God is altogether like themselves. No, it's the Lord's Christ that saves sinners. It's the Lord's Christ that must be revealed to you. Have you seen the Lord's Christ? Well, who does God reveal Christ to? Fallen sinners, seeking sinners, hungry sinners, needy sinners, helpless sinners, waiting sinners, longing sinners, looking sinners, believing sinners. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners. Those that are well have no need of a physician, but those that are sick most certainly do. I don't think there's any doubt here. We can kind of read between the lines that Simeon had waited for some time. I don't know when the Lord had revealed this to him or the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would see the Lord's Christ before he died. But I picture Simeon now being an old man, gray-headed. He had passed the usual time of life allotted to a man. He didn't wish to live forever here on earth, but he had hoped and he had prayed and he had desired to see the Lord's Christ, and he received the fulfillment of his expectation. Oh, don't ever give up. We have to wait patiently on the Lord. He does things in his own time, not in ours. We're by nature so impatient. We want it right now, don't we? Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. And said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Did Simeon wait in vain? No. He waited for Christ, the consolation of Israel. And now he saw what he waited for. He said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Friends, Jesus Christ is God's salvation. He's the consolation for spiritual Israel. And I could just picture Simeon here, the old man he now is. Maybe he's using a staff of some sort as a cane to help balance him, or his tarred old legs are limping there into the temple that day. And I can almost see his disappointed face, his eyes dark with distress, because he had not yet found that he was looking for. He wanted to see, but he couldn't see. He desired to know, but he didn't know. The Holy Spirit's promise had encouraged him to wait, but in his unbelieving moments, he became discouraged. Does that ever happen to you? Of course it does. It happens to all of us. But let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he, God, is always faithful that promised. He's always faithful. And it was then that Simeon saw that young mother holding that baby, and he just knew. How did he know? The Spirit. Bear witness with his spirit that it was so. He knew who that baby was, and I'm sure he said within himself, that's the Christ, that's the Savior, that's God's salvation right there. And then he took that baby up in his arms, and he blessed God. He said, let your servant depart in peace now according to the word. You know he blessed God. You see, dear sinner, you'll bless God when he reveals Christ to you. Why would Simeon now be able to depart in peace? Well, the answer was according to God's word. Last week, I had two high school classmates that died at the age of 66 and the other at the age of 64. They both had their funerals yesterday. I had another classmate contact me, and he said this to me. He said, or that could be you and me at any time. You know what my response was? I'm ready to go. And it upset him. He said, really? Really? You're ready to go? He took it as me being miserable. He took it as me having nothing here to live for. You know, most everyone in this world is trying to figure out a way to stay in this life just a little bit longer. Christ has made everything right between me and my God. God no longer angry with me, the wicked, every day. To die is gained, and those who are found in Christ can depart in peace. God no longer angry with those who are in Christ. And this is all according to God's word, is it not? All who have and hold Christ in their arms do so according to God's word, will, and purpose. Why was Simeon ready to depart? The same reason every believer is. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon not only saw Christ with natural eyes, but he saw him with the eyes of faith. He saw him with the enlightened spiritual eye. Simeon now held in his arms the one who holds the universe in his. Isn't that an amazing thought? When I think of Christ, the Prince of Glory, stooping so low as this, that a poor woman bears him in her arms and calls him her babe, surely there must be salvation for the lowest and the poorest. When God the Infinite would stoop in order to be an infant, born in a stable, publicly acknowledged as a poor woman's child, is there any doubt, dear friends, that he would have mercy and receive the poorest and the lowest and the most despised that seek his face? That means there's hope for me. Why has Mary brought him to the temple? Well, she's brought him there to redeem him. You see, he was Mary's firstborn. I found this very interesting, and therefore the law required that he must be redeemed. Was Christ then under the law, you might ask? Yes, he was under the law for the child of God's sake. In verse 21, we're told that when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, and then in verse 22, when the days of her, Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him, the Lord Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Look at what verse 23 says. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons must be offered. So poor was Mary that to redeem her firstborn, she couldn't bring a lamb, a sacrifice that most could afford, but she presented the poorer offering, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. But the thing that I want you to see here is this. Oh, the stoop of deity, that God the Son would become flesh and blood and honor the law and satisfy justice. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. And he's brought salvation to fallen yet chosen men and women. Simeon saw a perfect obedience brought to God from the very beginning as an infant. Christ Jesus was brought under the law. And that's why the Lord, if you remember later on when he began his ministry and he came to the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist, and John said, oh no, I can't baptize you. I have need to be baptized of thee. And the Lord Jesus said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He was under the law. He was made under the law. He's born of a woman made under the law that he might redeem us from the law. That's what we see here. You see, friends, not a jot or a tittle of the law would Christ omit. Even as a babe, he was circumcised as an infant. Christ was presented in the temple according to the law. He's going to cross every T and dot every I of the law for his people. The law has no claim on us because in Christ, we've kept it perfectly. Simeon saw that infant as the promised Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. And I can just imagine that he looked back to the old covenant and saw the one who he now held in his arms. Why, as he looked upon that babe, I am certain that he saw Noah's ark. All who were in the ark were safe from God's wrath. Everyone outside of the ark perished. I'm sure as he looked into that baby's eyes, Simeon saw the burning bush, while Christ is the one who would burn with the heat of God's wrath and would not be consumed. As he looked upon that child, I'm sure Simeon saw the pillar of smoke and fire that would lead his people to the land of promise. Don't you imagine? Simeon saw Christ as the Passover lamb, the one whose blood would be shed that would cause God to pass over his people in wrath and in judgment. As Simeon looked upon that infant, I'm sure he saw Christ as the smitten rock, that one from whom living water flowed when he was smitten of God and afflicted. Did Isaiah not say, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted"? Simeon saw Christ as the manna from heaven. He's the one that came to save sinners, his people from their sin, and sustain them forever. And I'm sure Simeon saw Christ as the brazen serpent. All who look to him high and lifted up would be delivered from the fiery serpents of sin. And no doubt, Simeon saw Christ as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He saw much more than just an infant. And as Simeon gazed upon that child, you know that he saw ahead to the agony and the bloody sweat, the cross and the passion, for he knew that the incarnate God would not shrink from anything that he had undertaken. That fair and lovely face of a baby, probably the most beautiful that human eye had ever rested upon, Simeon, by faith, could see that same face as a man marred more than any other man, while in our stead he suffered the wrath of God. Simeon saw much more than just a child. He said, "My eyes have seen thy salvation." Simeon now saw that child being full of life, but with the eye of time, he saw him dead. Dead because the law had carried out its penalty upon him. Dead because the sin bearer had been made to die. No doubt that Simeon saw the resurrection. Death and the grave could not hold the Lord Jesus. They could claim no victory against a perfect man, and God the Son said, "It's finished," and God the Father said, "Enough." Oh, he saw much more than just a baby.
Yes, sir.
Christ returned unto his Father, having accomplished eternal redemption for us. Oh, as we turn our eyes to Christ, may we see all these things. We turn our eyes back to Simeon for a moment. It seemed that the old fellow no longer has need to hold on to his staff or his cane. Now both of his arms held the child, the Lord's Christ. How young he must have felt. How happy he was. You know, joy fills his heart. His eyes have seen God's salvation. The whole of salvation is found in Christ. There's nothing more that we need. What is there for us to add? What more is required? Washing? No, there's a fountain filled with blood. Wash yourself in it. What more is required? Clothing? No, there's a robe of spotless righteousness provided for us. What more is required? Medicine? No. By his stripes we are healed. What is there of ours that we could bring to him? Shall a creeping worm, a maggot, be needed to complete the work of the one who created the world? Christ must be everything or nothing. Now, which is he? Which is he to you? Do you see him? Has he been revealed to you? Will you take him in your arms? I don't see anywhere in these verses where Simeon asked Mary if he could take the child. If you see your need, you won't have to be pleaded with. You won't have to be bargained with. You won't have to be begged to take Christ into your arms. You just won't. You'll just take him. And no one will prohibit you. After Simeon took the Lord in his arms, he wanted nothing. He wished for nothing. He longed for nothing. You know why? Because he had it all. Christ is all and in all.